Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do, for I have nowhere to store my crops?' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Sends the reading. You may be seated.
Good morning, everyone. I wish you each a happy Sunday and a blessed day today. My apologies this morning to the leadership of this congregation. I guess I was not here as early as I usually am. I was here before the service began, but I wasn't here as early as I usually am, so some of the leaders got a little bit worried about who was going to be preaching if Mark didn't show up. So I think you're okay with Maria, I think, you know. But it's a blessing for me to be here this morning, and I thank you for having me. We know that at all times we are to love people and use things, not vice versa. What happens, unfortunately, sometimes we get wrapped up with ourselves and we begin to love things and use people to further that love. Our passage this morning is a warning. It's a warning against, not against possessions or money or even riches. It's a warning against greed. Greed is an attitude that can grab us, take root in us, and hold us hostage. And we know that we don't have to be rich to be tripped up by greed. We as believers are involved in spiritual warfare, spiritual battles against spiritual powers, not physical possessions. It's our attitudes and our values that we need to be aware of. But thanks be to God, we don't have to be tripped up by greed. Greed can be defined as to be greedy is to be overcome by a love for possessions. In our passage this morning, a man interrupted Jesus with a request. Except it was more than a request, it was a demand. He demanded that Jesus make his brother share an inheritance with him. Apparently, somebody passed away and left some property, some goods, some possessions. And the brother of this man took it all. This man wanted Jesus to interrupt, change the situation, and make sure that he got his share, whether that was half or however it was. This brother wanted his share. Now, different countries and different regions at different times have different inheritance laws. Who gets something when somebody passes away? If you go to England today, you'll notice that there are large, enormous mansions surrounded by hundreds and hundreds of acres of property. And that's because for many years in England, the inheritance law was if somebody died, all of the possessions went to the oldest male heir. The oldest son received everything, which was kind of nice if you were the oldest male. If you were a female or you weren't the oldest, sorry, you're out of luck. At the same time, if you go to France today, you'll find many, many, many small farms, some of them only a couple of acres in size. And that's because in France, the inheritance laws were for many years, if somebody passed away, everything got divided up evenly between the children, so that if a man had five children, all of his property would be divided into five. And each of those five, if they had five children, it would all be divided up into five again. So that France now is covered with many, many, many tiny farms, as opposed to England, where there is a lot of wealth, but also, presumably, a lot of poverty as well. The man was asking Jesus to be a judge. He was treating Jesus like a rabbi, a first century teacher, because that's the role that rabbis took on in those days. They settled disputes. If you had a problem with one of your neighbors, if you had a problem with somebody, you brought your concern to the rabbi, explained the situation, and the rabbi said, well, this is what we're going to do. This is the type of dispute that Moses would have taken care of. When Moses became overwhelmed, he appointed other people underneath him to delegate the work of figuring out and settling disputes. But Jesus didn't want to be treated like a mere rabbi. And so he did not settle the dispute that this man brought to him. Instead of honoring the man's request, Jesus told a parable about a greedy man. The man in the parable had too much grain. The man in the parable had too many cars. The man in the parable had too large a stock portfolio. He had too much stuff that he'd picked up from various stores, including the dollar store. He had too much stuff to put in that drawer that has all those extra things that we seem to need around the house. So what was the man to do? He said, I'll build bigger barns. And then he could live the good life, eat, drink, and be merry. But as we read, God called the man a fool. He was a fool. Why? Because his plans came to naught. That very night his life was demanded of him. And what of his plans for the good life? What of his possessions? He had nothing. He had nothing. The man thought he was rich. He thought he was very rich. But in a more important way, he was poor. Very poor. That's it. That's the parable. It's a very short parable, but it's a very powerful one. Powerful one that we need to heed. Jesus said with this parable, watch out. Watch out as you would watch out for a car as you're passing the road. Watch out as we watch out for identity theft on the internet. Or watch out as we attempt to protect our children from any form of danger. Because greed is a hidden form of danger that can overtake any one of us. Greed takes hold of us if we start valuing things too much. Possessions are great to have. They're a real blessing in our lives. It's a way in which God takes care of us and provides for us, even rewards us. But they're not worthy of all of our attention, our energy, or our adoration. When we start to feel not so good about ourselves, it's a temptation to take refuge in the things that we own. Advertisers and television can help us out with this. An advertiser has one goal and only one goal in mind, and that is to sell us their products, their items. And advertising is a great service to us because it informs us of what's available. It provides us solutions for problems that we may have in our lives. But often advertising goes one step further and doesn't tell us that we just would benefit from these. They try to teach us that we can't possibly live a good life unless we have this. That there's something wrong with us unless we own this possession. But you know, greed doesn't come from advertising. What advertisers do is reach inside of us and grab hold of our own sinfulness, our own greed, our own selfishness. And we believe what we hear from advertisers at our own peril. We believe because sometimes we want to believe that this is the way to find happiness. And there's reward in our society from having possessions. In our society, if you have a lot of possessions and you have a lot of money, along with that comes prestige at a certain amount, power, respect from some people, other people who put value on things. We all want to know who's on the Forbes 500 list this year. Who has the most money in our society? But our lives don't consist of the possessions that we own. We are much more than the things that we have. And the things that we have will not bring us happiness. I used to think that rich people were happy and poor people were unhappy. It seemed to make sense to me. People spend so much time trying to make money and trying to gather possessions that maybe, you know, people who have a lot of money and possessions, well, they must be happy because that's what people are striving for. But I've seen a lot of examples to the contrary. A couple decades ago, I visited my aunt when she was a missionary in Indonesia. I went to Jakarta. And one evening after dark, I got lost in a poorer section in Jakarta. I was very afraid. Indonesia is one of the most populated nations on the planet, and Jakarta is a large, crowded city with a lot of poverty. And I was afraid that people living in Jakarta wanted nothing more than to gang up on a rich Westerner. I wasn't rich at that time, but they didn't know that. So I was afraid I was going to get ganged up on. Here I was lost in a poor section of Jakarta. All I had was a telephone number of the place that I was staying at. And I looked around and I found a telephone booth. But I couldn't figure out how to get the phone to work. It had hieroglyphics on it. Didn't understand any Indonesian. I saw a man walking by, and I very tentatively asked him for help and motioned for him to come over. I knew I was in trouble when he took the receiver and put it up to his ear upside down, because obviously he was too poor and didn't know how to work a payphone. But during my visit to Indonesia, I met a lot of very poor people who were happy. They loved their families. They were kind. They were generous. They were open to meeting other people. And I was really touched by their love. Contrast this to a friend of mine who lives not in California, more of an acquaintance, a friend of the family, a woman who I associate with once in a while. And when I talk to her, she never lets go an opportunity to tell me how much something that she has is worth, or how much money she has spent on something, or how much her husband makes, or what her plans are for the future with respect to money. And is she happy? Is she happy? She has all of this money and she knows how much everything is worth, but I begin to wonder if she's always bringing this to my attention, if it's really fulfilling for her. And I get the sense that she's talking in such a way as though she wants more than what it is that she has. Maybe we should ask if money buys unhappiness. If you look around in our world, where are the highest rates of depression, divorce, helplessness, hopelessness, suicide? Right here in the United States, the richest nation in the history of humankind. Maybe money buys unhappiness. The answer to greed and its dangers is to be rich toward God. Rich toward God. And that's what Jesus told the man who had the request. And that's what Jesus would have us know today. That there's something better than our physical possessions. We could be missing out on something greater by being satisfied with just things and just money. To be rich toward God is to first and foremost be in a right standing with Him, to acknowledge our sinfulness, confess it, to embrace the new life in Jesus Christ that God provides us, the forgiveness of all of our sin. And then in that new relationship, grow in a right standing with God and enjoy the new life in Jesus Christ, to know that we are loved by Him, that we are really free to be loved by our friends and family and to love them. And we are free to enjoy the possessions that we have because we realize that we are caretakers. We realize that our value is much more than the things in our lives. The riches that God provides are free of charge, and they will satisfy us. They will make us feel rich and bring true enjoyment to our lives. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the bread of life." And it's only through riches in Christ that we are truly fulfilled as a human being, being what it is that we're meant to be. Jesus was asked by the man to be a mediator, to be a dispute decider. But he's much more than that, isn't he? He is a teacher, but he's also our Lord and Savior. God cares about our wealth. He really does. He provides for us. He gives to us. But he has something so much better for us. And that's what I've always felt about my family's acquaintance. There's got to be more to life than this. There's got to be something else. A key word used in this passage was used by the man in the parable repeatedly. The man in the passage kept saying, I, and my. His focus was on himself. And that's what greed does to a person. It causes us to forget other people, forget our Creator, and look only at ourselves and what we can have and what we can get. But it's a rich person indeed who understands the spiritual riches of God in Jesus Christ. So as we go forward into another week, we can ask ourselves, what is our value? What is our value? Is our value just a dollars and cents value? Is it the number of cars that we have in our parking lot? Is it the size of our bank account, the size of our portfolio? Or is there something more? Is there something God has for us, much deeper, broader, as big as the kingdom of God, as great as God's intentions for us? Let's pray together. O Lord our God, we thank you that you provide for us and take care of us each and every day. We thank you that we don't go without food, that whenever there is a need, you seem to supply and take care of us somehow. We pray that we would not be so focused on the things that we own, to forget about the one who created us, and to forget about the other people with whom we are in relationship with. Fill us with love. Help us not to be tripped up by the danger of greed. And thank you that instead you have provided us with a new life in Jesus Christ. And it's in His name that we pray. Amen.